Chapter 16, verse 8 of Bhagavad Gita. I just read the translation. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say that it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Next verse. Following such conclusions, the demonic who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Lots of distraction going on. You can see. Just watch the news. Oh, baby, maybe don't watch the news. It's very disheartening, to say the least. Moving on to verse 10. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbing the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demonic, thus delusioned, are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. You can see a lot of this going on. Everything revolves around how to gratify my senses, the senses of my family, the senses of my society, my nation. Everything is very fragmented. Very fragmented. You know, people tend not to see things, life as a whole, you know, as a community, we like as brothers and sisters, everything is separated, or at least there are major divisions like nations, major divisions like societies. However, it's all divided, and then there's so much quarrel, so much violence going on. Continuing on with the verse from chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbing lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. And here's an interesting verse. How the demonic person thinks and what they believe in. The demonic person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I'll gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it'll increase in the future more and more. He's my enemy, and I have killed him. And my other enemies will also be killed. So, here, everything starts from thinking, feeling and willing, and then it leads to action. So demonic individuals are capable of planning, feeling like this, planning violent action and executing it. I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform some sacrifices. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. The interesting thing about demonic personalities is that they put on a show. They may make people believe that they're doing great work, charity work, any kind of work. And they collect money, steal people's, how to say it, faith or affection. They gain their affection. And doing this, through this campaign, they are able to secure many followers. And majority of people do not know that at the end, the demons are actually just want to secure everything for themselves. And if there's a problem, they can destroy everything and everyone around them. So this is the generally speaking, demonic consciousness. Well, the good news is that this false identity of demons like Putana, there are no such demons, I think, around like Putana and the demons like in the times of when Krishna was on earth 5,000 years ago. It's a good thing we don't have to deal with demons that Krishna had to deal with, but you know, some people have some extremely demonic qualities that you can recognize. False teachers, false leaders, you know, a lot of cheaters. The false identity of demonic people is ultimately revealed, just like putanas. The demons ultimately fall down. So that's the good news. So next question is, how do we conduct our activities in such an atmosphere? Well, we never know who we're gonna encounter when we go about our daily lives, and by no means we should assume that, you know, people outside of our circle of formal devotees, formal initiated devotees, or congregational members who are favorable to Krishna consciousness, we should by no means assume or think that everyone out there is more or less a demon. It's not a very productive or friendly consciousness. But there's a chance that we may run into some individuals with demonic qualities who will be opposed, directly opposed to our activities. It's very unfortunate for them. And how do we deal with that? It's difficult. We have to assume, have a strategy. What I like to do, my Guru Maharaj asked me to use every opportunity to try to talk about Krishna, try to preach, try to share with others the great fortune that we have of knowing Krishna consciousness. And when I go to work or, you know, go around my daily duties, or if I have a presentation, for example, on yoga or something that's related to our spiritual path, try to use, be cautious when you speak. People may be very sensitive, although the majority of your listeners may be favorable or neutral, so to speak. You can plant the seed. We have to choose our words very wisely. Demoniac people, first of all, would not want to listen to anything that has to do with spiritual knowledge. Second of all, if they listen to it, they just wait for the opportunity to say something that will contradict you, that will thwart your efforts to spread the knowledge of God. Demons work directly in opposition to elevated spiritual beings like demigods. So we have to choose our words very cautiously, unless we know for sure that we're talking to a friendly audience. So devotees use smart preaching methods. And Krishna will give us the intelligence to address the audiences other than devotee audiences. Krishna sits within the hearts and will give you the inspiration to address, to reach certain people who may need a different approach than you may even think. Sometimes when I go to work, go outside, walk around, go shopping, whatever, I talk to people. I always usually have a book in my pocket, or at least in my car. And sometimes I get into conversations with other people and try to distribute the book, see if I can make friends, you know, get some contact information. And sometimes I find myself speaking to them in ways that I didn't plan on speaking. You know, I was like, okay, this gentleman looks like, okay, he can, I will say this to him. And I plan it and I approach him, and all of a sudden, you may find yourself that you're approaching and expressing yourself in a different way than you plan on. So you may take, sometimes Krishna will inspire you to approach certain individuals in ways that are more proper for those individuals. You know, there are so many ways to approach people. Here I'm specifically talking about one-on-one approaches, but obviously many devotees give presentation at colleges and different clinics or gatherings, and it's just very good to be cautious when addressing those audiences. Another thing that, aside from planning and strategizing of how to approach certain audiences and one-on-one, how to approach people one-on-one, it is also very good to maintain strong sadhana, because that will give you us the strength and ability to align more with what Krishna would like us to do and our Guru Maharaj. I personally feel that when I cannot complete my chanting in a timely manner and I have some rounds left over for the rest of the day, it's the good thing is always on my mind. Okay, I have to finish, you know, 5 more rounds or, you know, 8 more rounds. It's always good to think like that, but ideally I feel my best when I complete my rounds in the morning, and then I go to work, then I go and, you know, approach people, try to share with them. It feels me and my brother Govinda, we kind of see that the chanting of 16 rounds is a potion of ability. You know, you get this drink, 16 rounds of Maha Mantra, and you can do anything Krishna wants you to do. You get this energy and inspiration. It's like an armor. It also protects you better from negative influences, demonic influences that are out there. Everything is right in your face. As you may know, I work in the fitness industry, and there's always a chance some people have some, you know, not very friendly expressions, outbursts of energy. Many times when I had worked, and police came and people were fighting and different things were going on. These things happen, so it is very good to finish your 16 rounds before you go out there and into the battlefield and try to share with others what fortune you have to know a little bit about Krishna. Many people have no idea who Krishna is, who God is. So yes, finish the 16 rounds and be inspired. I'm sure the inspiration will come. Your Guru Maharaj will be so happy if you just finish the 16 rounds in the morning, and then you have so much more energy and inspiration to go about your day and share with others. Let's see, is there other points? Things that, you know, another thing that I like to mention is that, you know, we may be good at something. Let's say you're good at distributing prasadam or books. You can distribute 100 books, 108 books in a single day or more. That's great. We all have our strengths. We also have our weaker points. And it is good to know your audience before you speak or before you present something about Krishna consciousness. It's definitely good to do that. If you do not know, people may be a little bit oversensitive, may not be so friendly to you reaching out to them, and there's a chance you will not feel so great. The exchange will not feel so great. But being sincere and finishing the 16 rounds, that's very important. And trying to adjust your approach to those who reach out is very smart to do. Now, how would you adjust your approach if you don't know those people? Sometimes it is possible to get to know them before you actually reach out to them in a spiritual way, make friends with them. It's a little bit risky because the scriptures also say that the devotees, or those who are practicing devotees, they should not be reaching out. They should not be associating with those who are more under the influence of the three modes, especially Rajaguna and Tamaguna. It's a risk. It's a risk that some devotees take in their preaching activities. And that's why it's important to have, they have their sadhana. This sadhana is strong. They get to know these people. I personally feel that if you make friends with them at one level, I might have mentioned that in last Saturday, make friends with them at a certain level. You know, you may not be very close to them, but you may be friends on a, like a more healthy platform of, you know, just exercising or, you know, talking about politics, talking about animals. You know, pick a topic that they like, make friends, say hi to them. It's good for many things. One of my managers at work said that it's good to do. It's good for business. You know, make friends. Try not to make sales too early. Try not to create those numbers too early in the process. Make friends with them. Make sure people know you. And then when the time is right, you reach out to them. Make a sale. Make them commit. So when the time is right, when you make friends, when you know those people, you can share something that's spiritual and deeper, and they will, they're more likely to accept it at that point. Like I said, it's a risk that we take, trying to get closer to them. In addition to taking books of Srila Prabhupada and just talking to those individuals, you know, one-on-one, or approaching larger gatherings, you can bring prasadam. It's a great way to people can relate to food. Everyone likes to eat, healthy, unhealthy, as long as it tastes good. I remember when I was less bold about preaching, I would just take some prasadam to work. My good wife would prepare some cookies. We'd offer them on our home altar and take it to work, you know, take a bunch of cookies, you know, 40, 50 cookies. And, you know, people go walk by, you know, I know where, you know, different people work at different places. I work at a gym. People walk in, you know, or after they finish their workout, they can grab a cookie. You work at a bank, whatever, you know, there's always some lollipops, there's always something there. You can bring prasadam, approve it with your manager, bring some prasadam. And some places are not so good to talk politics or spiritual, but take some prasadam, offer it yourself, your family offers it, and the prasadam will kick in. They eat prasadam, before you know, weeks or months later, they may ask you some questions that have to do with spiritual life, and you may be surprised. Prasadam is very potent. So if you don't talk directly about spiritual life to them, you don't reach out directly, start with prasadam. Maybe start with a book on vegetarian cooking. Know your audience. Since I work at the gym, people really focus on their eating. They try to improve their eating habits, so those books are actually very suitable to be distributed at that fitness place. You know, vegetarian cooking, and you know, sometimes at our work they have yoga classes, and many people do not even know, they are not aware of the higher dimension in yoga. You know, they just want to get flexible, they want to get a little bit less, get rid of some anxieties. So it would be a perfect place to distribute some books on yoga, on bhakti yoga, which is the king of all yogas, as we know from chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita. So once again, planning for your for what kind of audience you're going to approach, planning for whether it's 1-1-1 or a larger audience, and then knowing your strengths and weaknesses, and also allowing other devotees to, you know, take over your service. Let's say, it's good to be well-rounded. It's good to be well-rounded in, as far as preaching, you know. However, you know, I'm not well-rounded, so I'll be very happy to give my service to someone who is more qualified and, do the prasadam, make sure it's tasty, you know, do the book distribution. If you can distribute a lot of books, go for it. Maybe you would like to, you know, sing or do some other kind of service. It is very good to be aware of what our strengths are and weaknesses, and the plan which devotees will perform what kind of service, so our preaching activities are maximized. Those who are good at distributing books, they can go out there, and then those who are good at making a very tasty, palatable prasadam, they can take care of that. And sometimes, once in a while, as an exercise, it's good to switch roles, but most of the time, those who are very, very good at something, they should keep going with their service, so we can approach more people and benefit more people by our preaching efforts, trying to share with them the fortune that we have. Let's see, are there any other points you'd like to mention? I'd like to give you an example. You know, once again, trying to find out what people like. There's so many healthy and unhealthy addictions that people may have. Some people like music, some people like to eat. We all like to eat, actually, most people that I know. People like to dance, listen to music, and I remember when I was joining this Krishna consciousness movement, or making a transition. It wasn't all at once, obviously. I remember in my transitional stages, I was still listening to heavy metal music, and one of the bands that I like, I'm very thankful to them. I think the name of the band was Shelter. They played very nice heavy metal music about Krishna, and I really appreciated that in those early stages of my spiritual quest. And that was very beneficial for me at that point. I also enjoyed, since I was a lot into fighting sports, I liked the martial arts type of exercise. I enjoyed reading about from Mahabharata or Bhagavad Gita, the descriptions of different fights and battles. It was very fascinating to me, even though I didn't care so much about the specific philosophy. I just enjoyed the demons being, you know, killed, and Krishna's fighting, and, you know, his brothers fighting, and different devotees are fighting on the battlefield. They're really very pleasing to me, and it is still. But it allowed me to become more attracted to Krishna consciousness, because as I look at it now, Krishna consciousness is so rich. We can find something for everyone outside, you know. If you're into food, we got it. If you're into music, we have great musicians, you know. If you're into philosophy, it's a great philosophy, you know. If you keep studying and you can always learn more, and it makes so much sense. We just have to take time to get to know it. Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So the point is, Krishna consciousness, its culture is so rich. We can reach everyone. We just have to pick the right methods for each group, and know our strengths and weaknesses, and pick the right devotees for a particular service. That's very beneficial. Another point I'd like to mention, still have a few minutes, is that since demoniac personalities, some of them are bigger, some of them are like average, and some of them are just innocent people, neutral, ready to take the seat of Krishna consciousness. But speaking about demons, there are spirit souls as well, and we may ask a question, why can we preach to demons? Is it good to preach to those who are very extremely opposed to Krishna consciousness? The answer is no, because Srila Prabhupada gives this example of feeding milk to a snake, even though you're giving a nice thing to a snake, but the snake will not appreciate. Quite the contrary, the snake will get stronger, its poison will increase, and it will try to bite us. So we try to avoid demonic personalities and not preach to them directly, and try to pick audiences that are more neutral and friendly. However, sometimes there's a chance we run into extreme opposition, and that happens. Krishna will protect us, rest assured. Krishna will take care of it. Mother Nature will take care of it. We don't have to preach to the demons, period. The best way to spread Krishna consciousness is to spread the mantra, mantra that Prabhupada propagated, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated, and prasadam literature. So yes, we do not necessarily want to preach to the demons, want to avoid that. But rest assured, we are safe. We are safe. We should boldly come out there and and preach. Krishna really appreciates that. There's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. I think it's 68. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. On the other hand, the demons who are opposing any spiritual movement, especially our movement, are going to suffer greatly and descend into the hellish worlds, into the lower species of life. And, you know, demons are, they require a severe punishment. They will not easily learn their lessons, so leave it up to Krishna and Mother Nature to punish them. We're not going to fight them directly. But yes, definitely Krishna will protect us. He really appreciates when we spread and reach out to other audiences that are not aware of Krishna consciousness. I think I covered most of the points that I wanted to cover. I very much thank you for your attention. And I apologize for any shortcomings of this lecture. And if you have any questions, I'll be very happy to try to answer. We still have 7 minutes. Thank you very much. Any questions? You sure you don't have any questions? Okay, well, there are no questions, and we complete the lecture here. And once again, thank you for letting me speak. Oh, you got one question. Thank you so much.
Try.
Hare Krishna.
So you were putting an emphasis on, you know, using a certain strategy in terms of approaching persons, and you were highlighting that you doing it in your workplace.
I'm sorry, I missed that because of the thunderbolt.
You were examining how to approach persons and bring some topic of spirituality into a conversation, at least.
Yes.
So, from what I understood, in your own life, you're doing it in your workplace, at least some portion of the approaching of people. So, I guess my question is, direct communication on Krishna conscious topics in the workplace, there's the question that comes to mind, because one's representing whatever that institution is that one's working for, one's bringing another component in that's not part of that institution. So is there any kind of difficulty that can present itself for oneself because one's speaking or bringing a whole other area, another reality into the norm of your workplace?
I think it's a very good question. Hopefully I understand it correctly. Are you asking if there are any risks in bringing spiritual literature or spiritual artifacts or your own spirituality into work and sharing with others? I mean, you're saying if, obviously if that's what the question is, there are some restrictions, and it is very good to be well aware of them, clear with your boss, if necessary, or whoever you work for. Like, is it okay if I bring some, you know, books on yoga or vegetarian cooking, and I leave them here, you know, maybe not directly next to you, maybe on a special table where, you know, many people run businesses, and they have a special area for new business, you know, you can leave your business cards, your flyers, maybe that would be the right area. So you may not be next to your books, but the books are in the building, or, you know, this prasadam snacks are in the building, they're there, and people may look at them, they may grab them, maybe not. So as long as you clear it with your boss, you want to be you want to be known at work as a person who follows the rules, and within those rules there may be some flexibility for bringing Krishna conscious artifacts, Krishna conscious literature, prasadam. You know, just you have to find out. Each business or institution is different. I couldn't answer that question specifically. What works at my place, at my work, it may not work at somewhere else. But you know, basically, we have to do some research, plan it, and Krishna will give us the intelligence to somehow bring in that spirituality into our workplaces and other areas. Mm. Did that answer your question? Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Oh, is this another question? Very nice. Yeah, I speak louder because of the rain. I'm not sure if I can hear properly.
You're gonna hear me.
That's loud enough.
And thank you, Arjuna Acharya, for the class.
My pleasure.
One of the things that worked for me in my workplace when I started more than preaching was the change of my attitude towards my peers and my co-workers, was the application of what I was learning and what I was hearing, what a brahmachari and a brahmana and a vaishnava was all about or is all about, is what worked in my particular case, was much more effective than preaching. Because when I tried to preach, for instance, about vegetarianism, everybody was against me, but you're Catholic now, you're changing. No, it was hard. It was a hard transition, you know, and in terms of my relationship with peers that are always between envious and critical and mean in many ways. It was the change of my attitude, and kept my mouth closed about what I was learning. Just my behavior started changing, so, and it was much more effective.
Yes.
That's all what I want to say. Thank you.
I appreciate your comment. Obviously, transitions are very difficult transitions, and many people will not appreciate our transition. And once you get situated and you transition fully, then it's easier. It's easier to conduct your preaching activities. We're just starting out with stuff.
Yeah, and especially in an environment in which a lot of the Eastern people were Indian descendants or Indians and were Hindus, and they said like, "Oh, you're faking it. You're not." And we're the pure breed of Hinduism. Yeah. We are, you white guys, are, just faking it.
Yeah. You'll be surprised. Thank you for your comment, Prabhu. Very nice.
Thanks for class, Arjuna, Prabhu.
No problem, thank you.
I'm just appreciating, in the beginning, you were explaining how before you go into the workplace, you like to have all of your rounds, you know, like chanting your 16 rounds almost gives you, you were explaining that it prevents you from being affected by like negative or demoniac forces, like it almost gives you a higher sense of awareness. And it makes you more attentive in your dealings with others.
Oh, for sure.
I guess sort of protects you.
Exactly. Wow. Yes.
As Prabhupada said that if you chant all your rounds before 10 a.m., you're free of anxiety.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't know the 10 a.m., but that's awesome.
It's good instructions.
Wow. Before 10 a.m., all the rounds should be done, right? I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just gives you a certain, like...
Yes.
You know you're doing the right thing, you know.
Wow. Yeah, we all need less anxiety. And anxiety is everywhere. As soon as you leave the temple, there's an anxiety.
But everyone's experiencing it, so if we can teach others how to free themselves from it, you know.
Sure.
Obviously, in the workplace, others will be in anxiety, but if you can just, you know, teach them in a really subtle way, which it sounds like you're doing, again, like friend-to-friend sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just appreciating that, so thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your comment. Thank you. Jai.